Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal, and I am flying solo today. Don is a little bit under the weather, but I'm here, and we're going to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions right here at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. I'm here with engineer and station manager Mike Murphy to remind you that this fine program and many, many others come to you with the support of people like you. If you are hearing us, don't just lend us your ears, lend us your support. You can go to www.khoifm.org/membership. And if you're not a member, sign up. If you are a member, renew your support. We rely on people like you to keep this fine radio station going. Well, today, we're going to kind of continue our sliding into the holidays theme. We're going to talk about pie crust. Holiday pies in general, but most specifically, pie crust. It seems there are many opinions, and heaven knows I have my opinion about pie crust, and you're going to get to hear it. And we're going to look at some holiday pie suggestions, and we'll find out a little bit about pies and world peace. We need some of that, too. First off, a big get well to Donna Prisgintas, because it's good to have Donna as part of the Donalana Kitchen. She's a little under the weather, and this time of year, a lot of colds, flus, and COVIDs, and all sorts of things are flying around, and it's easy to come down with things. I have a little news item to share here from the Donalana Kitchen News Department. Tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick-a-tick. That is the ticker tape. We always have that going in the background here. I got an article here called What to Eat to Boost Your Immune System This Fall. It seems big on the list are pumpkins and squash, Brussels sprouts, yum, apples, turmeric, and cranberries. Now, just when we're feeling a little snuffly and a little in need of a little boost, here are these great things that are growing. These vegetables are not just sides on our holiday tables. They are good for us too. Pumpkins, acorns, acorn squash, and winter squash. They kind of looked into what all of these products bring us. And they're really, really big in daily vitamin A requirements. One cup of pumpkin contains over 200% of your daily vitamin A requirements. And butternut squash is 450% of your vitamin A. My goodness, a little overdoing it there, but it is good for you. It is good for you. And Brussels sprouts, they're good. They're good. They are full of detoxifying agents, vitamin C, B6, fiber, and potassium. It's got to be good for you. Apples, of course, fruit. They're at the peak season now. Apple pies are good, but just a plain old apple is good. Apples are excellent sources of fiber and vitamin C, potassium, vitamin K, manganese, and a variety of B vitamins. And I mentioned turmeric. Turmeric as a, there's been a lot of talk about that. That's supposed to be really good for you. It can fight inflammation on the cellular level. And it adds a rich orange color to your favorite fall dishes. A little bit of a nod to the spices there. And here we go, cranberries. While you probably shouldn't rush out and buy a can of super sugary cranberry sauce, cranberries are good. You can just get them as fresh or frozen. The phytochemicals in cranberries have shown to be a major antioxidant and antimicrobial. It fights antimicrobial effects in the body. They also get this, write this down. It promotes healthy aging. We can all use that. And it fights against infection and bacteria. All this stuff, good for you and right in time for the holidays. Well, it's a time to be thankful. It's a time of year to be thankful for the farms and the farmers that feed us. These days we have more options. There are many more options to buy sustainably raised and healthy meat. And food and fruits and vegetables, of course. I was in my local food co-op actually yesterday, and people were just bustling. The organic turkeys were in, and everyone had a smile on their face, picking up these impossibly huge-looking birds, ready to go. People have to think about either if they, unless they bought a fresh turkey, think about timing your turkey so it is thawed in time to go to the into the oven on Thanksgiving. And as you are cooking, you can go to the Donalana Kitchen webpage, and there's lots of shows we've done actually just this year about good stuff to cook, good stuff to eat, a good background while you are in the kitchen. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked to Rob Fox about raising turkeys. That's kind of important this time of year. We've got shows on sorghum and gingerbread and squash and local nuts. And Donna's got a great show on lard. And there's another show that we did in last year in January called Celebrating Winter Vegetables. But scroll through that list there and find something to keep you company in the kitchen. That's the Donalana Kitchen webpage that comes to you from this fine radio station, KHOIFM.org. Go to talk shows, go to Donalana Kitchen, and find our past shows. You'll be amazed at all the stuff. We have not ran out of stuff to talk about yet. So, thanks to everyone who produces local food. We will have a fine Thanksgiving bounty here in the Midwest. So, back to pies. Pies. For some folks, it just wouldn't be a holiday without pies. And I've been making pies for many, many years. Pies are one of those things that you have to... It's hard to describe everything. It's a lot of technique, and you have to love it, and it's a hands-on thing. And I've been making for years. I think I'm getting a little better, and Donna says I make a pretty good pie crust. Well, I just love making pies. They're round. They're pretty. They come out of the oven bubbling, and I just love making pies. And one of the good things about making pies is that everyone smiles when you put one on the table. And a good pie crust is quite important if you're doing a custard pie or if you're doing a fruit pie or a meat pie. There's savory pies, too. So let's talk about pie crusts. There are so many different ways to do it. I used my regular pie crust recipe to make an apple galette, which is earlier this fall, and I did it in Donna's kitchen. And an apple galette is just pie, but not in a pie pan. It's kind of folded up on a cookie sheet, so it looks all kind of rustic and pretty and bubbly. But I used the same old recipe, and Donna was looking over my shoulder, and she mentioned again and again, oh, that's how you do it. Oh, that, I never would have guessed. There's so many little things that you just plain have to do or look over somebody else's shoulder. There's a lot of techniques there. So, my recipe for a good pie crust. And my recipe for a good pie crust ingredients pretty much follows the recipe that is in the Joy of Cooking, my well-worn copy of Joy of Cooking, right on the first page of the pasties and filled pastry page. It has their recipe for basic pie dough. My recipe, and there's a lot of talk, of course, about having a kitchen scale so you can measure things exactly. I don't. I do so much stuff by eye, and I do use my measuring cups pretty religiously for this year. So I start out with 2 cups of flour, all-purpose flour, and save a little more. Probably have another half cup ready for dusting and mixing as needed. 1 teaspoon salt, and you can add sugar, optional. Then 1 cup fat, and I use half butter, half lard, and make sure that stuff is cold, out of the refrigerator cold. Then my secret ingredients, and I don't add this to every pastry crust I make, but I usually add, well, you do have to add the water, 5 to 6 tablespoons cold water, but I usually add a dash of vinegar and a small egg. People don't do that much anymore. It's kind of an old thing to do. I must have watched my grandmother do it or something. I don't know. I just figure that's the way to do it. And again, I don't always add vinegar and egg, but the flour, salt, and cut in butter. Because the technique for doing this thing is that you combine the fat and the flour, number one, in a bowl. And there are many ways to do that. People swear by a food processor. Well, I don't like a food processor. It's too noisy and there's too much to clean up. I like to use a pastry blender, and which is that little hand tool that kind of looks like a horseshoe, and you scrunch, scrunch, scrunch down and you lightly go around until all the butter and lard is mixed up with the flour, and so everything is kind of lumpy. It doesn't have to be perfect, just kind of all mixed. I do like my pastry blender. And then you add the liquid, and cold water is really good here. The jar of cooking says 5 to 6 tablespoons cold water. Don't dump it in all at once, just add a little bit as you are trying to make the dry ingredients into a damp ingredient ball. And at that time, I always have in my cold water, I have added my vinegar and small egg into the cold water. Now you may ask, doesn't that make way too much liquid? And the answer is yes. You do not put that in all at once. Either I use that and make a double recipe of pastry, or I just add it until it's needed. Add it until it feels right, this nice ball that will hold together in itself. Then even if you have a little left over, you can always put it in the compost pile or give it to the dog as a treat. But that's what I use to make my dough stick together. And I use my hands, make a nice ball, and then form and roll. Then you use this extra cup of flour and use generously on your surface you're going to roll on, and generously dust your rolling pin. Now here is where you can't really explain it. You have to do it, because crust and flour, water, fat, a little salt, it responds to touch. It really does. Form yourself into a, think pie when you do this, and you form it out into a flat surface and use your rolling pin. Go from the center of the mass out. Don't go back and forth across the whole thing, and keep turning and flipping your pie crust as you go, and keep adding flour if you need to. Yes, you do. There's some, until it is big enough for your pie plate, and then it goes in your pie plate, and kind of make sure it goes down into your pie plate and touches the bottom of your pie plate. Don't push it hard, but kind of talk to it so it goes down there. And I cut it off with a sharp knife, not at the pie edge, but I kind of go around the corner, so I've got a good bit of pie crust left over hanging there, so I can do pretty things with the edge. I bring up the edges and dimple them, or you can do anything you want, really. But I don't like pie juice going into my oven, so I make sure there's a nice big edge on my pies. Then you can take what's left over and make a top for later when you put the pie filling in, and there can be all kinds of filling. Now, one thing about this whole process, and you find advice in all kinds of recipe books, is chill. Chill. That refers to you, too, but also the pie dough. If you find your pie dough getting kind of sticky and heavy-looking and oily-looking and not responding to the rolling pin, put it in the refrigerator for a while and walk away. There's a lot of suggestions for making sure you work with cool pie dough. And this is a kind of a challenge in the summer if you don't have air conditioning. But using that refrigerator, I've found that it is ever so much nicer to have a chilled pie dough. And even after I have put the pie crust in my pie pan and dimpled the edges, getting ready for the filling, I have learned to always put it in the refrigerator for a good, 15 minutes or so, because that chills up the fats that are in the dough, and that's what makes it, kind of fluffy-ish and pastry-ish and all that kind of thing. So using your refrigerator judiciously is a really good thing. Here's some advice from The Joy of Cooking, and this is my advice too. It's just they have it all written out here, and it might actually be in order. So let's consider what makes a success when you make pie. First, have all your ingredients ready and ready to go. Measure your stuff out. Don't be kind of thinking of things halfway through. And handle your dough lightly for two reasons: to incorporate as much air into the mixture and to inhibit the development of gluten. You're not making pizza dough here. The aim here is to be as flaky and tender as possible, and avoid too much flour. But this is something you kind of learn by touch. Avoid too much liquid. You can make it soggy. You can tell if it's soggy. In making pies at high altitudes, you'll have greater evaporation, but Iowa is not really at a high altitude. Avoid too much shortening. You don't want to, so follow the recipe. So, chilling pastry dough after mixing tenderizes and keeps it from shrinking during baking and makes it easier to handle. And they recommend it up to, you can make a pie crust up to 12 hours ahead, or you can even freeze it, but make sure it's thawed out before you put it in the oven, and have it at least sort of coolish room temperature. They recommend a non-shiny pie pan for good browning. I don't know. I have glass pie pans and I have tin pie pans. I use both. It depends on different sizes. Here's an important part. Always start the baking in a very hot oven, preheated to temperatures indicated. Sometimes it's 425, sometimes it's 450. And then you reduce the temperature after a little bit to bake the rest of the pie. The contrast between the coolness of the dough when you put it in and the heat of the oven causes rapid air expansion and contributes to the desired lightness of texture. Everyone has their favorite recipe, but you'll find yours. And there's no such thing as a bad pie if things get a little out of shape or whatever. Now, this is just the pie crust. There's all kinds of possibilities for the inside. Yes, yes. And thinking ahead to the holidays, if you are thinking of making pies, it's not a bad idea to make your, at least I do this, make your pie crust ahead of time and have it, you can freeze it for a few days and take it out and get ready to go later because you kind of want it cool anyway. And then if you have a topping for the pie, whether it's just a disc of dough with some decorations nicked in it with a knife, or if you want to make a lattice pie, put that dough in a plastic bag and put that in the refrigerator too. You can actually make that stuff later. You don't have to do that on the morning of Thanksgiving. Heavens forbid. Now, I mentioned some people swear by using a Cuisinart to put their dough and fat together, mixing the butter or the lard or the Crisco, mixing that with the flour. I ran across a really interesting recipe, and I followed it because I've always got pretty pictures. It's from the book Food 52 Genius Desserts, 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Bake. They have, of course, a whole section on no-stress pie dough written by Stella Parks. The main thing about this is that it has an interesting way of incorporating the butter or lard or Crisco into the flour. Instead of using a pastry blender or a Cuisinart, this is very much using your fingers. And that's a time-tested thing, too. You can just kind of crumble, crumble, crumble. You can do that. But this suggests actually leaving the butter or the Crisco or the lard in rather large lumps. You wouldn't believe it. It's kind of, what's it? This little kind of, oh, I don't know. They're like little half-inch squares, and they're big. They do get all covered with flour, and then you squish that around, but it's larger lumps than you think because after you do, you squish it with your hands a little bit and incorporated the liquid to make it into a dough, Stella Parks suggests doing this kind of informal, if you're familiar with how phyllo dough is made, butter, fold it, butter, fold it, butter, fold it, layers on layers. Here's this lumpy dough. She suggests rolling it out, and it's got lumps in it. Well, now, all right. Then you fold two halves in of this large sort of rectangle, and then you fold it again, and then you fold it down, so you have folded it 4 times. You've got a rectangle that has been folded and folded and folded, and you can press it a little bit. You don't do anything to it yet. You just press it, press it, press it. Then you've got kind of another small rectangle. Cut that in half, and you have two little squares ready to go. Now, this would be a good place to just let it sit for a while because it does kind of firm up and get used to each other. But then you take these little rectangles that have got the butter folded in and folded in and folded in, and that is your basis for your pie shell and the covering of your pie shell. I never thought of just leaving it kind of lumpy like that. I may have to try that. That's a good thing, and that's from Genius Desserts, the no-stress pie dough. Oh, I don't know about the stress part, but it looks interesting. Always learning new things. I mentioned that one of my favorite tools is my pastry blender. And also, another handy thing, I have a 10-inch spatula, a metal spatula on a wooden handle that is really good for sliding under things and moving things around on the surface. Everybody has their favorite tools. You're listening to KHOI, and this is the Donna Lena Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lena Kitchen Pie Crust. A little intimidating to start with, but oh, it's so much fun to play with. And there's so many variations. There's a lot of joy in making a pie. Well, I dipped into the Donna Lena Kitchen Archives. We've talked about pie here before. Last year, we had a visit from Beth Howard. She has a business called, get this, The World Needs More Pie. What a nice business. She loves baking pies, and she's had a, she bakes and bakes, and she loves baking pies. And last year, just before she came and talked on our show, she actually traveled the world baking pies and learning about pies or pie variations around the world. And she's actually wrote a book about her project there. It's called World Peace, P-I-E-C-E, World Peace, A Pie Baker's Global Quest for Peace, Love, and Understanding. Beth Howard is an Iowa author that has made it her business to take pies up and out of the kitchen and does a whole lot of other things with them, too. She has traveled around the world. She rose to fame in the Midwest, where she lived in the iconic American Gothic House in Eldon, Iowa, where she ran the Pitchfork Pies stand from 2010 to 2014. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, thank you for having me, both of you.
Good, good. Well,
but my first question is, how did you get to live in the American Gothic House?
Good question.
Well, I was visiting my birthplace of Ottumwa, Iowa, in 2010, right after I had been a pie judge at the Iowa State Fair, by the way, which is always fun to talk about. And I was just visiting Ottumwa and leaving town, and I thought, well, I'm never going to be back here again. That was nice to visit. I had been sending pictures to my family. And I made it just a few miles down the road, and I saw a sign for the American Gothic House. And I had grown up in Ottumwa, but I never knew that the Gothic House was there, first of all. But I never even knew that it was a real house. You know, we all know the painting, the Grant Wood painting of the couple with the pitchfork. That's internationally known. But that house and the painting is real, and it's owned by the State Historical Society of Iowa. And at the time I stopped by and fell in love with it, it was for rent. I inquired, and the next thing you know, I'm moving in, and everyone in my whole life was shocked, especially my mom. She's like, what are you going to do there? What are you going to do in the winter? And I just, well, lo and behold, I started baking pies, and then that just took off and became the Pitchfork Pie Stand. And
but I'm so glad you got to live there. And pies? You mean people would come in and you would sell them whole pies or pieces of, or what?
Well, the first time I thought about doing this, I was like, well, look at all these tourists coming and there's nothing for them here. So I thought, well, I'm a pie maker. I'm looking for something to do. I thought I would set up a little table in the side yard, like a lemonade stand, and just sell pie by the slice. And, you know, then I think I made 10 pies for my first pie stand, and I didn't think anybody was going to come and buy them. And what happened was people wanted to buy whole pies, not just slices. So then it just grew from there. And also, I didn't stay in the side yard. I moved my pie stand into the living room of the house because Iowa weather, it can be rather unpredictable. And the winds kick up, and the next thing you know, you're chasing napkins all across the lawn and inside the house as well, because at that point, it wasn't open to the public. You know, I love making pie, but people mistake me for a pastry chef, and I don't even consider myself a pastry chef. I'm just like, no, I really like pie, and I like the meaning of pie. You know, it's almost more about the metaphor of what pie is and what message it can convey to people rather than the actual recipes. And but, you know, my goal was to try pies from each country I went to, because almost every country has some form of pie. Like, you know, Italy has pizza and calzone, and in India, like, I would consider samosa a kind of pie because it's something encased in a crust.
Well, in New Zealand, a pie is actually a savory, like in the British tradition, a savory-filled, usually meat pies, they call them.
Right. In New Zealand, it was all about the meat pies, mm-hmm. and they're small hand pies, mm-hmm. and they're sort of a snack food, basically. A lot of people eat it when they come home from the bar, like the way we would do a burger and fries or pizza. You know, that's like kind of their fast food in a way. And then in Australia, the Cornish pasty is very popular. It's the, you know, the beef, or I guess you'd call it steak. Steak and potato and turnip, and that's pretty much it. And that's like a turnover style pie.
See, things like this do contribute to world peace, I must say. Talk more about pie as metaphor.
Well, I mean, what does pie mean to you, right? Doesn't it mean like comfort and kindness and family and love and nostalgia and generosity? It's community. Like, you know, if you have a bake sale, that's a community thing. And, you know, pie just shows up in all kinds of ways like that. But it's, you know, there's something also about taking the time to make a homemade pie where you're giving something of yourself to share with others. So for me, it's mostly about the sharing. It's about taking time to make something with love and share it with somebody else to make them happy. And that in turn makes you happy. And that is a recipe for world peace, in my opinion.
I
in
like
my
that.
Experience, actually, as well. Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yes. People connect with food all over the place.
Well, you know, and I think it's, I totally agree with you that a handmade pie, home-baked pie, or mostly home baking, is always a treasure. It's because, I mean, you can obviously buy all of these things at bakeries, but they are very, very rarely the same as a homemade baked good. And there's obvious reasons for it. Something about the handwork involved. You can't really replicate that with a pie machine, and there are pie machines.
True. Let's talk about pie crust, Beth. Everybody's got a version of pie crust. You encourage people to use their fingers. Tell people about how you make a pie crust.
Well, I do use my hands. That's true. And you'll see a lot of recipes that call for a food processor, and I just bristle at the words food processor. I think that, you know, the pioneers made pie, right? They didn't have electricity. They didn't have refrigerators. They certainly did not have food processors. Your two best tools are your hands. And when they say that, oh, you know, using your hands is going to make your pie dough tough, that's not the problem. Like, when I mix the dough, I'm blending in the butter with the flour. I'm massaging it just with my fingertips. I'm not kneading it like bread. So it's about keeping a light touch and working quickly, because it really doesn't take as long as people think it does to make pie dough. And, you know, the mistake people often make is that they just want to keep working it, and they want to force it to hold together without adding the water that it takes to hold it together. So I also don't follow the recipe when it says, you know, only add 5 tablespoons of water and one at a time. That's just, to me, that's rubbish. You know, I drizzle water in and toss it around until I can feel that everything's well moistened and holding together on its own. And then I'll do what I call a squeeze test to see. So I'm not using force to hold the dough together. I let the water do the work. So that's my little trick. And that's, I know for a fact that that advice has helped a lot of people get over this thing, because 5 tablespoons of water is often not enough, because maybe it depends on your, you know, your brand of flour, your environment that you're living in, the humidity, you know. So there's so many variables. You can't say precisely how much water your pie dough is going to need. And
what temperature do you
water? Pardon me.
What temperature do you keep your butter at to start with?
I just keep it in the refrigerator.
Do you take it straight out of the fridge cold?
I do.
Okay.
So chilled butter, and I store my Crisco in the refrigerator as well. Some people go over the top, and in my opinion, and refrigerate their flour. They refrigerate their bowl. They just like everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't need to complicate it that much. It's not all required, you know. So the butter should be chilled, yes, and ice water is really crucial, and just working quickly and lightly. It's not about having everything at some precise temperature. And, you know, they talk about baking being about precision, but pie does not fall into that category.
Well,
I cannot stress enough, you know, the pioneers made pie. Just remember that, you know, keep that in perspective, that we've complicated our lives and we've complicated even our baking and all the little gadgets that come with it. And it's just, none of that is necessary.
Well, our bodies, our fingers and our eyes and our noses can tell us a whole lot about what to do in the kitchen. Yes. Lard, what's your concept on lard as a shortening?
What it comes down to is the freshness of your lard. Where do you get your lard? Lard can go rancid, and so I think you just have to be really careful with lard. I think it's less shelf stable than Crisco. So I would use it, but it's just easier for me to use Crisco.
We're talking to Beth Howard, a woman who can teach us a lot about pies and world peace. She traveled the world talking about pies, making pies all over the world with people that she met. I can't think of a better thing to do. It's one thing to go to a country and stay in a nice hotel, perhaps, and look at the scenery and take pictures, but actually interacting with people. What a good idea. We were talking about pie crusts. I'm going to throw a little bit of my pie crust recipe ingredients at you and see what you think. Along with using usually half and half lard, good quality lard, and butter, I don't know where I learned to do this, but along with the ice water, I put in a beaten egg into the crust. And I don't know where that came from. I've been doing it for ages, and it seems to work out well. It seems that the proteins in the egg would hold things together. Anyway, what do you think of that? Have you ever heard of using an egg?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have a friend down where I live in Donelson, Esther Tweedy, and her pie is so incredibly good. I get so excited when she makes a pie for me, and I've got the recipe from her. It's her grandmother's recipe. It has egg. It also has vinegar. So it's the flour, the butter, the shortening or lard, and the egg, and also vinegar. So I love her pie crust so much. But for whatever reason, I have been too lazy, I guess, to even make the recipe that way myself, because I'm just so used to doing it my way with the simple, you know, fewer ingredients. But now that we've talked about it, I'm going to make that my goal.
Try
the pie recipe. Now, I have made a gluten-free pie crust that calls for egg, because that is the binder that holds it together without the gluten. And I found that to taste very eggy. So, I mean, it didn't taste bad. It was actually quite good, but the egg, it did have a very strong egg taste to it. So that would be my only hesitation, but anyway, now they make one-to-one gluten-free flour, so you don't have to do anything differently than with a regular pie crust or pie dough. It's just you replace the flour with the one-to-one gluten-free flour and you're good, and it won't roll out the same way that a regular gluten pie crust will, but it's something that people have been asking me about a lot lately, so I thought I'd mention that. Don't need an egg for that.
Yeah, eggs are handy.
Beth, do you have an opinion about sugar in the crust? In French pastry, they often put a little sugar in their tart crusts.
So I like it. I don't have it in my recipe, but lately I've been finding myself throwing in like a tablespoon or two, maybe.
Not too much. Yeah.
I don't measure. I just soften like a little, scoop up a little with my hand and throw it in, but it's probably 1 to 2 tablespoons, and I do like it in my crust, but I don't have it written in my recipe, and I didn't even have it in my cookbook as an option, but I kind of regret that, because I do like how it tastes with the sugar. But the thing about that pie crust is, when it's just that basic recipe, you can use it for a sweet or savory pie, so I certainly wouldn't add the sugar in the pie dough for a savory pie.
Back. That was a visit with pie baker Beth Howard. And she has good take on pie crust. And yes, I'm not the only strange one. She's also heard of using an egg and vinegar in pie crust. A very good thing. I want to mention that we did not only talk to her on the radio, but Beth Howard gave a pie baking demonstration right here in the studios of KHOI Community Radio. This is a fine center of community. The radio station here often hosts concerts and plays and special events, and it's a good place to meet your neighbors. Support this fine radio station. Go to khoifm.org/membership. You're listening to KHOI, and this is the Donna Lena Kitchen. Welcome back. We're talking pie crust today. Pie crusts are usually filled with many wonderful things, and the opportunities are endless. We didn't even get into graham cracker pie crusts and pot pies. There's so much. But don't worry, the Donna Lena Kitchen will be available in days to come and in weeks to come to talk about more good things. Here is a good idea for the holidays. Yes, I truly found a cranberry pie recipe. It's cranberry sage pie from a place called 420 Blackbirds Bakery. Cranberry sage pie. It's got good things in it. A good pie crust on the outside. It starts out with 3/4 cup dried cranberries, 1/2 cup sugar, 1/2 cup light brown sugar, quarter cup cornstarch or arrowroot to thicken, then 1 tablespoon or more coarsely chopped fresh sage, kosher salt, cinnamon, allspice, 4 cups whole cranberries, and a small apple, 2 large eggs, vanilla, and sugar for topping. You plump up the dried cranberries, and here we are. They suggest a food processor here, and you mush up the sugar and 1/2 of the whole cranberries until they are chunky, and then add the whole cranberries, a peel and shredded apple, and drain the plumped dried cranberries in a colander and add that too. And then an egg, beaten egg, gets added to this mixture. It's a little bit of a custard, but there you go. And the idea of putting sage, ground cinnamon, and allspice, what a good idea. So play around out there. Cranberries in a pie sounds pretty good. It sounds pretty good. Well, talked about being thankful for farmers, and I want to thank somebody else this holiday season. Bakers bake good stuff for us, and our local food co-op here has a bakery, and you kind of have to know what day certain breads are available, because they go like the proverbial hotcakes here. And for many years, The food co-op has been putting out a little list of bread. It's the bread schedule, so you know which day your favorite bread is there. And I pick it up every now and then, and for all the world, it looks like a haiku to me. Yes, we're going to have, in honor of being thankful for bakers for Thanksgiving, I'm going to read this little poem made out of all the good things that we can get at our local food co-op bakery. Baguette, French rolls, batard, ciabatta, and sourdough. Honey seed, Cuban, sourdough wheat, apricot sage, sesame semolina, multigrain and olive, cinnamon raisin, pain au levain, challah, maple pecan, sunflower oat, seven grain levain, brioche au chocolat, cranberry walnut, focaccia of the day, currant cardamom, and deli rye. There you go. That doesn't that make you hungry? Yes, it does. Good. Well, I wish to take this opportunity to tell you not to stress out over your holiday meals. A little earlier, we heard the tune Banish Misfortune. And I wish to, this holiday season, banish misfortune from your kitchen and hope you have a good gathering and a good bunch of baking and cooking experiences. But, as I said, do not stress out over your holiday meal. After all, if you have an interesting event or something does not quite work out in the kitchen, it will make great fodder for future holidays. It will be a legend in your family. Yes, it will. And holiday meals are always good, especially since people tend to ask somebody to bring a pie. That's good. Mike, what's your favorite pie?
Oh, whichever one I'm eating at the time. I'm a big fan of pie. I mean, I love pumpkin pie. I really do.
Oh, how good. Yeah, I'm kind of the whatever's put in front of me. It's got to be the best pie.
Right.
But this time of year, yes, it truly would not be the holidays. You have to have a pumpkin pie. But you really feel rich when there's more than one choice. And then you can say, oh, well, I'll have a small piece of both. I tend to do that. I like that. And I look forward to pecan pie. I don't make pecan pie very often, but it shows up on holiday dinners. And I do like pecan pie. That is a good one. Let me have to try this cranberry sage pie. And there's so many variations on pumpkin pie and pecan pie. Here's one from the Food 52 book. It mixes pumpkin pie with pecan crunch. Put a pecan crunch on the top. Two for one. And then don't forget, there's tarts too, which tarts are just shorter pies, and they tend to be fruit filled, but the sides are not as high and not sloped. They are a vertical little side that is maybe just an inch tall. And the little pieces can be wonderfully rich, and they theoretically stay together, so they're really pretty. And you have little slices of tarts, chocolate tarts, and fruit tarts. Good stuff all around. Good stuff all around. Now, if you are hungry for nut pie, and this is a recipe I make all through the year, but here's a good one. Best cocoa brownies from Alice Medrich. Cocoa brownies. Now, these are pretty darn yummy, and Alice Medrich, Donna often says she is the queen of knowing what to do with chocolate. These are wonderful brownies, and they're heavy-duty cocoa. They're not very sweet. It's an interesting thing you do here. Half cup plus 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1 1/4 cup sugar, 3/4 cups plus 2 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1/4 teaspoon sea salt. And you take those ingredients, believe it or not, you combine the butter, sugar, cocoa powder, and salt in a metal bowl and set the bowl directly in a gently simmering water bath in a skillet. Nothing fancy. This is not a double boiler. This is just set it in a skillet, and it warms it up slowly, slowly. Stir occasionally with a wooden spoon or rubber spatula until the butter's melted and the mixture is hot enough that you want to remove your finger when you dip it in. It turns the dusty-looking cocoa into this rich, black-looking stuff. The idea of sort of semi-cooking the butter and the cocoa. Boy, that must be the magic of these things, because it's really good. Then you remove the bowl from the skillet and let it cool a little bit, add vanilla, beat in the eggs, stir after each one. And when the batter looks thick and shiny, well mixed, add the flour and stir until no streaks of flour remain. And then here, a little note here, beat vigorously for 40 strokes. It's worth it. You will be glad you did. Thank you, Alice. I did that, and yes, I am. It's good. And then you can add nuts if you want. It calls for 2/3 cup pecan pieces. Now, this is a very thick mixture and surprisingly dark looking. It's really good. You pour it into a pan. It's good. It's good. So look for Alice Medrich's Best Cocoa Brownies. Well, we talked about pie crust today, an important subject that does not get talked about enough. And with the holidays coming up, do make yourself a pie. They're always so good to share with everybody. And you can decide Crisco, butter, lard, what kind you like. Pies are a great adventure. We referred to the Joy of Cooking cookbook and the Food 52 Genius Desserts cookbook. So have a good time with your holiday pies. And we heard from Beth Howard, the person who has a business called The World Needs More Pies. She talked about baking pies, too. Good woman, good woman. I wish to mention an upcoming event here. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, right here in Ames, the Central Iowa Barn Dance is having a dance. All are welcome. Saturday, 7:30 to 10 p.m., November 25th, 130 South Sheldon Avenue. You can go to Facebook, Central Iowa Barn Dance Association, and find out lots more information. Yes, you can. So, after Thanksgiving, bring your family and friends and dance down your turkey dinner. Time to move around a little bit. Yes, it is. And celebrate this fine holiday season. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Be thankful for this community radio station. Go to KHOIFM/membership to update your membership to become a member. Join this fine, fine effort here. KHOI Radio. You've been listening to the Donna Lena Kitchen. We come to you Tuesday at noon and are repeated 7 p.m. We are also available as a podcast. Donna Lena, one word, kitchen. That's our podcast. Join us there. My name is Lena Noctigal, and get well to Don Prisgintis. Yes, we had music today by the Barn Owl Band. We'll go out with some more Banish Misfortune. Fine engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.